Married at First Sight. Chapter 4097. Catherine. Marco's expression darkened as he addressed her with a grave tone. He asked coldly, "I'll ask you one last time, are you really planning to hand over everything that belongs to the Farrell family to Liberty?" Catherine responded firmly, "This is Mom's life's work." Marco snapped, "If you don't want it, then hand everything over to us. We'd gladly take it. At least that way, Mom's legacy won't become someone else's victory trophy." Catherine met Marco's gaze and replied calmly, "Brother, I've told you countless times Farrell's legacy rightfully belongs to Liberty and her lineage. Mom took it, but it was never truly hers. I believe she regretted it before she passed. Our branch of the family has lost the trust of the people. Even if we refuse to let Liberty take over, do you really think it would be your turn? There are plenty of ambitious young women in the clan who'd fight for the position. Instead of letting it fall into their hands, it's better to return everything to Aunt's descendants. I believe Liberty has what it takes to lead the family. Everyone supports her and is willing to follow her as head of the Farrell family. She's the one who can lead us out of this mess and restore the family to its former glory." Catherine paused before adding, "Liberty has strong backers, including some of the most powerful families. Even in Jensburg, she has the Queen family's support. And you know how influential the Queen family is on PAR with the York family in Wiltspoon." Marco clenched his teeth and hissed, "Catherine, if you're going to be this stubborn, then we have nothing left to say. From this day forward, we're no longer siblings. Don't blame us for what happens next." Without waiting for Catherine to respond, Marco turned to his two younger brothers and ordered, "Let's go, brother." Marco shot them a stern look and repeated, "I said, let's go. Don't make them throw us out." Reluctantly, the two younger brothers followed their eldest brother, watching as he stormed to his car and drove off. They quickly got into their own car and followed him. Marco drove with purpose, his frustration evident, heading toward their hometown. The two younger brothers were confused but didn't dare question him. They simply followed in silence. By the time they reached the Jansen family's old house, it was already evening. Holden, their relative, had just finished dinner and was sitting on the sofa, watching TV. The old house, while not as grand or expansive as the Farrell family mansion, was still impressive compared to the surrounding homes. It was a self-built villa with modest front and backyards, enough space for Holden to grow flowers and maintain a small garden. Holden's children ensured he lived comfortably, regularly sending him money. His retirement was peaceful, and his lifestyle was considered enviable in the area. Neighbors frequently dropped by for visits, and Holden's days were filled with quiet contentment. This sense of comfort came not just from his surroundings, but from the fact that this was his home, a place where he felt he truly belonged. No matter how luxurious the Farrell family mansion was, it had never felt like home to him. He had only lived there because of his connection to Clarissa. Even Clarissa herself had planned to leave the mansion had she not been able to secure the family's leadership position for her daughter. It was tradition the new family head would move in with their spouse and children, turning the mansion into their home. The Farrell mansion wasn't just a residence, it was steeped in the family's history, a place that held memories for generations. But for Holden, the Jansen family's old house offered something far more precious, a genuine sense of belonging. Holden's modest villa was well maintained. He even hired two housekeepers to manage the chores, as his children's financial support allowed him to live comfortably. His extended family in the area, though not as wealthy or powerful as the elite families in Jensburg, still fared well. Their success and unity were largely thanks to Holden's sacrifices, sacrifices that included his freedom, his happiness, and even acts of self-harm. Since his return to his hometown, his siblings, nieces, and nephews had shown him immense respect and care. They visited regularly, brought gifts, shared meals, and spent time with him. Their warmth made his retirement life fulfilling in a way that the grandeur of the Farrell family mansion never could. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4098. Chapter 4098. Holden knew deep down why they had come. They were here for Catherine. After all, Catherine was his biological daughter. They believed Catherine would take control of the Farrell family, elevating his status as the family patriarch. In their eyes, he would become more powerful than ever, reigning as the elder of the Farrell clan. But Holden hadn't shared the internal strife of the Farrell family with his hometown relatives. He saw no point in telling them. They couldn't do anything to help, and he feared that revealing the truth might make them distance themselves. He cherished the lively, bustling life he had now and didn't want to lose it. "Grandpa, the three young masters are here," the nanny informed Holden as she entered the room. Holden had insisted that the nanny call him Grandpa. Without Clarissa around to overshadow him, he wanted to embrace the role of an elder for once, relishing the respect and warmth that came with it. "Why are they back again?" Holden frowned. "I've told them not to return. They weren't happy staying in our hometown, and now they keep coming back every few days. Are it just the three brothers?" Despite his frustrations, Holden's thoughts turned to his grandchildren. He suspected his older grandchildren knew the truth about the Farrell family drama and were likely filled with resentment toward their Aunt Catherine and Liberty. The younger ones, blissfully unaware, were still easier to deal with. His eldest son's children lived with their mother after the divorce. With her guidance, Holden was confident they would secure a future in Jensburg. So long as they weren't raised with a thirst for revenge, people in places like Wiltspoon, known for their generosity, wouldn't hold a grudge against them. They could carve out normal lives, find stable jobs, and settle into the rhythm of a 9-to-5 life. "Yes, only the three brothers are here," the nanny confirmed. Holden muttered to himself and gestured for her to continue her tasks. He remained seated, waiting for his three sons to come inside. Moments later, Marco, Noel, and Sage entered the house. Marco quickly noticed the nanny and addressed her, "Auntie, could you give us some privacy? We need to talk to our dad." "Of course." Understanding how much wealthy families valued their privacy, the nanny quietly left the room. Once she was gone, Marco and his brothers each found a seat near their father. "Dad," Marco started. Holden turned toward them, his tone sharp and laced with sarcasm. "What is it this time? Did your sister throw you out? It's only the start of the year, and you're already so eager to return to work? Seems like a waste of your excitement." Without waiting for a response, Holden continued. "How many times have I told you to stay out of Jensburg and focus on building a life here in our hometown? With the wealth you already have, you could live comfortably here. Buy a few more buildings, invest in some shops, and live off the rent. The Farrell family? Forget about it. That legacy was never ours. Even if your mother were still alive, it wouldn't be yours. The rules of the Farrell family have stood strong for over a century. You really think the three of you can change that? Keep dreaming. Look at this house. It's a villa, with front and back yards. It may not be as grand or sprawling as the Farrell family mansion, but it's ours. And here, I feel at home." Marco sat in silence for a moment, then leaned forward, his voice low and deliberate. "Dad, I want to get rid of Catherine and Liberty." Holden froze, stunned by his son's words. Noel and Sage exchanged uneasy glances. They shared Marco's resentment toward their sister and Liberty, but when it came to actually eliminating them, they hesitated. The thought was too much, even for them. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4099. Chapter 4099. Killing someone means paying with your life. The people they wanted dead were Catherine and Liberty. If they went through with it, they'd be caught within 2 days. After that, the law would deliver its verdict, the death penalty. What's the point of that? All they wanted was everything the Farrell family had. But if they were sentenced to death, everything they coveted would simply go to someone else. Sage said, "Brother, killing someone means paying with your life. If we go that far, we won't escape either. What's the point? Noel responded, what if our plan doesn't work and we end up dead instead? They've got plenty of backers and powerful connections. Killing them might not be as simple as we think. Marco interjected, Mom pulled it off. We're her sons. She raised us with everything she had. Are we saying we're not as good as Mom? Sage whispered, we're not as good as Mom. Honestly, we're not even as good as Catherine. Marco glared at Sage, anger simmering. He thought Sage was undermining their confidence and boosting the enemy's morale. Finally, Holden spoke up. His voice carried authority. Marco, Sage is right. You failed to kill them because of bad luck. Even if you'd succeeded and both of them were dead, do you think that's the end of it? Wiltspoon has plenty of people who could step in. Do you have the capability to wipe them all out? Can you guarantee no mistakes and no one finding out? There are countless women in the Farrell family's side branches. It'll never be your turn. Holden paused, letting his words sink in before continuing. Stop bringing up your mother. She was the sister of the family head, trusted because of her upbringing. On top of that, the head's failing health gave her the chance to scheme and slowly execute her plans. Even so, decades later, the truth came out. She died in disgrace. Your branch has lost the Farrell family's support. Even if you manage to claim power, you'll never have full legitimacy or the support of everyone. It'll only make your downfall quicker. My advice? Stop being stubborn. Give up everything here in the city. Go back to your hometown and start fresh. It's doing well now. Sell all your properties here, your houses, your shops. Take what little inheritance your mother left you and go back. Buy a few villas, maybe some buildings and stores. Live off the rental income. You'll be far better off than most people. Holden's gaze hardened as he delivered his final point. Think about your mother. For all her power and ruthlessness, what was her end? And you? You can't even handle Catherine, let alone Liberty, who's backed by several powerful families. Those people are untouchable. Dr. Carden alone is enough to keep your mother at bay. You three stand no chance against Liberty, let alone replacing her. Holden's tone softened as he added, Marco, listen to me. In this world, the one person who truly loves you and wants the best for you is me, your father. If you still can't let it go, then hide. Wait for the right moment. As the saying goes, revenge is a dish best served cold. Marco's face turned pale. He was desperate to eliminate those people, but his father's words felt like a cold bucket of water, extinguishing his fire. The plan seemed impossible. Dad, in 10 years, Liberty will have firmly established herself, Marco said, his voice heavy with despair. I just can't accept this. Why? Why should we give up everything to Liberty? Damn Catherine. Marco's frustration boiled over. Dad, if we can't take down Liberty, then we'll kill Catherine. This is all her fault. She's the ungrateful one. If it weren't for her, Mom might still be alive. She's nothing but a traitor. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4100. Chapter 4100. Compared to Liberty, Marco resented Catherine, his own sister, even more. In his eyes, all the Farrell family's tragedies began the moment Catherine returned. If he had known how rebellious Catherine would become, betraying her own family for the sake of justice and aligning herself with the people in Wiltspoon, he would have stopped his mother from ever acknowledging her. Shiloh had been so much better. Though carefully groomed by Clarissa, Shiloh's abilities were limited on par with theirs. If Shiloh had survived and taken over, Clarissa wouldn't have had to die. Holden wouldn't have been forced to mutilate himself and live as an old eunuch. The Farrell family wouldn't have been thrown into chaos. Instead, they could have risen higher within the Farrell group, calling the shots and thriving. Now, they were reduced to this, a disgraceful, defeated lot, hounded and rejected wherever they went. They had no home to return to. Their mother had been driven to suicide. Their father, once proud and strong, was crippled and in declining health. And they had lost so much. 90% of the private assets left by their mother were now in Catherine's hands. Catherine's children had inherited more than her own brothers. It all boiled down to Catherine. Holden spoke bluntly. It would be easier to kill Catherine, but if you want to succeed, you'll need to get rid of Pedro first. As long as Pedro is by her side, your chances are slim. Catherine herself wasn't particularly powerful. Her strength came from Pedro. Pedro was extraordinarily capable, resourceful, and shrouded in mystery. No one could truly gauge his influence or connections, not even the head of the Farrell family. The head relied on Pedro for important tasks, offering orders without questioning how he carried them out. Results were all that mattered. Holden continued, "Even if you can't get rid of Pedro, you'll have to find a way to drive him away from Catherine. Without Pedro, Catherine is nothing but a coward, easy to deal with. Whatever you do, though, make sure nothing traces back to you. Catherine has strong ties with those people in Wiltspoon." He sighed deeply, his voice heavy with regret. "Looking back now, everything that's happened to our family started when Catherine returned. If we had known, we never would have allowed Shiloh and Catherine to be swapped. We should have either made the best of a bad situation or eliminated Catherine before the truth came out. If we had done that, Shiloh would have inherited everything." His tone grew darker. "If it weren't for Catherine, your mother might not have been defeated so quickly or at all. She wouldn't have had to die. Catherine betrayed your mother, even though your mother treated her so well in the 6 months before everything fell apart." Holden's frustration was palpable. "I did everything I could to protect Catherine and elevate her, and this is how she repaid me? She's heartless, ungrateful, and unfilial. How could I have raised such a daughter?" Holden's resentment toward his own daughter was evident. What he regretted most was allowing their daughters to switch identities in the first place. Initially, Clarissa had favored Shiloh, but the family rules of the Farrell family were inescapable. The head position had to be passed down to a daughter, usually the eldest. With only one daughter or so, they thought they had no choice but to invest everything in Shiloh. Clarissa had poured her heart and soul into raising Shiloh, loving her unconditionally. Who would have imagined that Shiloh wasn't their daughter after all? Catherine was.